Okay, Wayne and Dieter, are you guys about as good as we can be here today?
Yep, I'm attacking the IRLP right now.
Yeah, I'm fine too, Tim, and I'm live already.
Okay, so Beth, if you can mute Wayne and Dieter.
Okay, the lines are muted and the recording has begun.
Okay, good. I'll start up here in just about a minute.
Can all the kids hear me?
Yes, all present.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill. I'll be your operator for this evening. Does everybody remember the magic word? Did they hear me?
Yes. Did everyone hear the magic word?
Great. Perfect. Thank you. Please remember that because that's the magic word. It lets me know when to switch from the transmit to the receive. So we've got that all set up. So is everybody ready?
Yes.
All sound excited. So great. We'll get this going.
They're sort of in a passageway, so we've only got one or two, but as they come around the corner, they will hear you okay there, Bill.
Outstanding.
Okay. So we're going to get started here. This is probably going to be a little less formal than you and I have done before, Tony. So feel free to jump in here, and if you have anything you want to add to the monologue, we'll do that. Okay. All right.
Space station at the moment, 6,230 kilometers from the base. You can leave it to countdown as the speed is doing. Yes, that once that circle touches that cross there where our radio station is, then we have communication. And we have nine bases around the world. We have another one in Honolulu, several across the state, one in Brussels, another one in Johannesburg, myself down in Kingston, and we have just opened up another one in just inland from Mackay. And we handle all that cool communication for both stations.
Okay, Tony, you all set?
Yes, Tim.
All right, I'm going to start here in just a second. We have about 9 minutes and 20-some seconds to go before AOS. Good evening, good morning, wherever you are. This is W6 Mike Uniform in Santa Rosa, California, at the W6 SRJ Telebridge Station on the campus of Santa Rosa Junior College. The operator for the bridge station today is going to be Bill Hillendahl, KH6GJB. Bill has been with us since 1995 when we first established this station. And our contact today is with the Salt Creek School in Salt Creek, Australia. Good morning. Tony, I forgot to ask you, is it morning there or afternoon?
It's right on lunchtime, Tim, and as yet we haven't had lunch, but there's some beautiful sandwiches here that the school have prepared for us afterwards.
Oh, excellent. Well, greetings to the school, to the students and the teachers and the parents there. And can you tell us a little bit more about the school there, Tony?
Tim, I'll put Luke on, the principal, and he can tell you a little bit about it himself. Luke?
Welcome everyone. Hello and welcome to Salt Creek Primary School. My name is Luke Renfrew. I'm the new principal at the school this year. Our school is situated in the southeast of South Australia, approximately 200 kilometres from the capital city of Adelaide. We are situated in the middle of an area known as the Coorong. The Coorong is a World Heritage listed area. The heart of the Coorong is a long narrow lagoon that runs parallel with coastal sand dunes for 140 kilometres. It is a vast wetland ecosystem that attracts massive flocks of birds that travel here from as far away as Siberia and Alaska. It's a beautiful part of the world that South Australians are lucky to have at their doorstep. Our school consists of 22 out of 7 students divided into an upper primary and junior primary class. Most children live on farms around Salt Creek and travel to school on the school bus or the school east van. Many of the families in our school community have recently relocated to Australia from Zimbabwe. These families have been a welcome and important addition to our school community. This year we have 3 teaching staff and 3 support staff at our school. I teach 3 days a week in PE, Maths and Science. Julianne Wandall teaches German Literacy and Health over 4 days. And Liz Wingard teaches 1 day a week in Music, Art and Drama. I would like to thank Tony Hutchinson, Sunita, the astronaut, NASA, the audience here today, and everyone else involved in the ARIS program for providing our students with a wonderful once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I look forward to hearing Sunita's responses to the students' questions. Over.
Okay, Luke, thank you. That was very interesting. Anyway, we've gone through, let me walk through what we've done on this end here. Obviously, you've heard us doing some of the audio checks and adjusting some of the audio circuits just to make sure everything works. Earlier today, we double-checked everything as far as the RF systems and the antennas. The antennas here are controlled by computer, and of course we watch that so we can do a manual override in case something goes wrong. The radio system here is a Kenwood TS-798 with an RF concept amplifier. We're running about 150 watts up to an antenna that basically has the ability to move both in the horizontal and the vertical, and as such, we will be able to track this pass. This particular pass is coming at us from the South Pacific to the southwest of us. Actually, currently, right now, if one was in Hawaii and the operator on the ISS was on, you could actually be talking to the ISS. And we will have contact in approximately 5 minutes here. The ISS will pass slightly to the north of us and head northeast to the Canadian border along the central plain states in the United States here. Let me mention briefly a couple of the, some of the organizations that are involved. Obviously, NASA sponsors this program. The AMSAT organization, as well as Amateur Radio on the International Space Station, and, of course, the American Radio Relay League and their partners around the world, of which Tony represents Australia. Tony, do you have anything else you'd like to add at this point?
No, everything's been fairly well explained, I think, and any questions I can answer, hopefully, afterwards, as the students or audience here. Tim, thanks.
Okay. With you being, with the school being 200 kilometers, if I heard it correctly, from Adelaide, I'm going to ask anyway, because we do this on every contact, but is there any news media there?
Unfortunately, we haven't any present, but they do want recordings, so as we can get them back, we have to get a coverage on TV tonight or tomorrow night of the audio with some background photos, and also there will be coverage from the ABC, which is National Radio, probably tomorrow there, but nothing live, unfortunately, Tim.
Okay. Well, that sometimes happens, but the different locations and the different times of day, looks like we have about 3 minutes to go here.
Yeah, sorry, we have got newspapers. We have a coverage that will be done in the local papers. Tim, I forgot about that. Sorry.
Well, no problem. So can you tell us a little bit about how big Salt Creek is?
Yeah, well... if you're on the highway, there's Highway 1, which is the Princess Highway that goes all the way around Australia. There is a roadhouse, there's Parks and Wildlife Regional Office, the school, and several houses in the little village, I suppose you'd call it, that service the area. and a lot of the students come off nearby farming properties. Generally, when they reach high school age, they will transfer possibly to Kingston High School, Meningi, or go to boarding school. It does cover a vast area, and some of the students, I think, have to travel around about three quarters of an hour, day and night, to come into the school, Tim.
Okay, real good. Well, we have about a minute and 40-some seconds to go here. I will turn it over to Bill in approximately 1 minute. I do want to also mention Verizon teleconferencing and thank them for their role in this. They graciously donate these facilities so that we can make the connections between the ground stations in the schools throughout the world. And they have done that for quite some time, and we are certainly most appreciative of that. So in just a few seconds here, I'm going to turn it over to Bill Villendahl, KH6TJB, who is the operator for the station here. And he will begin calling in just a few seconds here. We're about a minute early, but we like to call early because sometimes we do manage to connect a little sooner. So over to you there, Bill.
Okay, thanks, Tim. All right, what we're going to be doing now is I'm going to loosen up the squelch on the radio, and you're going to hear some noise, and we'll start calling here. Okay, we're going to wait just a second while the antennas get around to the position. Yeah, we're letting our computer system here control the rotors on the antenna, but we're watching so we can manually over. Okay, here we go. Here comes the noise. NA1SS, NA1SS, this is W6SRJ. NA1SS, NA1SS, this is W6SRJ by KH6GJB.
KH6GJB, this is NA1SS. How do you hear me? Over.
We hear you loud and clear. We'll pass you over to the school for the first question. Go ahead.
My name is Caleb. In space, are you weightless? Over.
Hi, Caleb and everyone at Salt Creek Primary School. It's great to be with you today. Well, actually, we are. You know, we still have mass, but we're able to float around ourselves and float around any big items without any effort. Sometimes when you bump into things, you realize that they actually still have mass and it hurts. But it's easy to move things around. It's easy to move ourselves around, and we fly essentially from module to module. It's lots of fun. Over.
Hi, my name is Robert. How far away are you from Earth? Over.
Hi, Robert. We're in between 200 and 250 miles from the Earth. We're flying at a speed of about 17,500 miles an hour. And those are all approximations, but we're at a distance from the Earth and at a speed from the Earth that we're not coming any closer or being pulled further by gravity into the Earth. We're just at an equilibrium point for our distance and our speed. Over.
My name is Shelby. What do you eat? Over.
Hi, Shelby. Well, half of our food is provided by the Americans and half is provided by the Russians, and so we get quite a nice selection of all sorts of stuff. We have breakfast food from eggs and omelets and quiche even. It's all rehydratable, so it's all dry food. To meat dishes like lamb and vermicelli that's pre-made and in a can, and all we do is heat it up. We don't really cook up here. All we do is heat things up and hydrate stuff. Over.
My name's Jamie. Do you run into any asteroids? Over.
Hi, Jamie. Well, thank God we haven't run into any asteroids. But we do have the potential for meeting up with micrometeorites, little small meteorites, and because of that, all of the spacecraft and our spacesuits all have protection in case we get hit with something like that. Anything about the size of a softball would be detected by folks on the ground, but the little stuff, there is a potential we can get hit with that, and that is very dangerous, and that's why we protect for it. Over.
My name is Kenny. How long does it take to orbit around the Earth? Over.
Hi, Kenny. Well, it takes about 90 minutes for us to go all the way around the Earth, and that means in a 24-hour day, we have 16 sunrises and sunsets, about 45 minutes of daylight and 45 minutes of nighttime. for every orbit. So it's pretty cool. We get to see night and day quite a bit, and the sunrise and sunsets are, like I said, are just absolutely wonderful, and it's nice to be able to have a chance to see so many of them. Over.
Hi, my name is Kirsten. Do you know when the first space station was made? Over.
Hi, Kirsten. Well, the space station has been in progress for quite some time, since the mid-90s. The first piece was launched in 1998. We finally got occupants, people living on the space station in 2000, and it's been under construction as piece by piece has come up for both the Russian Space Agency and from the U.S., and now we're going to be adding a module from the European Space Agency and one from Japan. So it's still under progress, but it started in concept in the late 80s and 90s, and its first piece was up in 98. Over.
Hi, my name is Caitlin. Have you ever seen a black hole? If you have, what does it look like? Over.
Hi, Caitlin. Thank God we haven't, because I don't think we would see it for very long at all. And from what I've heard, and I'm not a scientist by background, I'm a helicopter pilot, but from what I've heard, we would be in it in a moment. It would suck us right in. So thank God we're not at a place where we're experiencing black holes. Over.
My name is Kendall. What does the sun look like? Over.
Hi, Kendall. Well, like I was saying about how far we are, we're only really 200 miles away from the Earth, and we are already outside of the Earth's atmosphere, and we do have some gravity up here, but it's very minimal compared to what we feel on the ground, and so it seems like we're very, very far away from the Earth, but we're actually not, and so the sun looks just like it looks to you, except more, it's clearer and brighter up here because we don't have the atmosphere getting in the way to blur our vision. So the sun and the planets and the stars all look about the same in size, just a lot clearer. It's like you put on a nice new pair of glasses. Over.
Hi, my name is Gage. Have you ever seen any UFOs?
Well, I've only been up here for about 4 months, so no UFOs yet, but I have a couple more months to go, so if something happens, I will let you know. Over.
Hi, my name is Ricky. What jobs do you have up in space? Over.
Hi, Ricky. Well, usually there's only three of us living here. Hopefully we'll have six in the future. And so what we have to do up here is keep this ship running. It's essentially a ship. So one of the main things that we're doing is maintenance on our ship to keep the food system, the oxygen system, the heating system, the cooling system running. That's part of our job. Secondly, we're doing science experiments up here. The main focus is to understand what happens to human beings who are living in microgravity for a long period of time so we can go back to the moon and potentially onto Mars. And the third thing we do, and part of that is exercise. We exercise quite a bit. The next thing we do is construction. Like I said earlier, we're still building the space station, so we have a lot of spacewalks and a lot of robotic work that we do. Over.
My name is Mitchell. How do you get food up there? Over.
Hi, Mitchell. Well, there's a couple ways to get food up here. Spacecraft that come visit us, of course, are the space shuttle, the Soyuz, which is the Russian rocket space capsule that comes up and brings the expedition crews up, and also a Progress vehicle, which is unmanned, and that brings up all sorts of food and also experiments and clothes. So we have all sorts of vehicles that come up periodically, probably about 8 to 15 vehicles a year bring different food and people and clothes and experiments up. And by the way, my Russian colleagues all say hello to you guys in Salt Creek. Over.
My name is Emily. What do you do up in space?
So, Emily, what do you do up in space? Well, like I was saying, we have all sorts of jobs because we have to run the spacecraft as well as do the experiments. We work out, like I was saying also, because part of the reason we work out, which I mean by running on a treadmill, doing a bicycle, and also lifting weights is to prevent some of the bone density loss and muscle mass that happens in microgravity because we don't use our legs, obviously. We don't have pressure on our legs, so that stuff starts to deteriorate. So to prevent that, we need to do exercise up here. Over.
My name is Rachel. What do you do in your space time? Over.
Hi, Rachel. Well, it never seems like we have much spare time, but what we do a lot in our spare time is look out the window at our beautiful planet and take pictures. And what's neat about that is we can take pictures over long periods of time. For example, I'll be up here for 6 months from the winter in the northern hemisphere to the winter in the southern hemisphere. And so we can take pictures of trends that are going on in the environment and on our planet. We also have email, which we use to contact our friends and family, as well as an IP phone, which when we have the right satellite, we can talk to our family. Over.
My name is Brittany. Where do you guys get hurt? Over.
Hi, Brittany. That's a great question. There's only three of us, but we all have some medical training, and actually right now we have a doctor on board with us as one of our crewmates, and so we're trained to take care of each other in case we have some medical issues. If something bad really happens, then we can all get in the Soyuz and we can be back on the Earth in about 4 hours. Over.
Hello, my name is Stacy. Do you have children, and how long till you see them again? Over.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have children yet. I do have a dog, though, and I miss him dearly. And it will be probably 6 months before I'll see him again. However, when I talk to my family, I hear him barking in the background, so that's really nice. Over.
50 seconds.
Hello, my name is Danny. And what does it feel like when you blast off? Over.
Hi, Danny. Well, blasting off was just spectacular. It was like riding in a roller coaster, but a little bit more exhilarating than that. We were pushed back into our seats.
Hi, my name is Kiki.
Okay, kids, it sounds like we've lost them, but they might be able to hear us. So you want to say goodbye?
A big...
Breathe in space.
A big thank you, everyone. Thank you, Sonny.
All right. This is W6FRJ by KH60JB. Sleeping fast. Very good. Very successful.
Well, thanks very much, Tim, from Salt Creek School, and Bill, for your operating there, and everyone else, Wayne, Dieter.
Well, thank you, Tony, and congratulations to the folks there at the school. They had some great questions, and sounded like everything went well. Were you able to hear everything okay?
Yes, excellent. Thanks, Tim. That was great.
Okay. All right. Well, Beth, if you can bring Dieter and Wayne back online.
Okay. They are back live.
Okay. And go ahead and take the recording down.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Dieter, Wayne, anything from your end?
All went well on my end. This is Dieter.
Okay. Thank you. Wayne?
Everything sounded great. We had both connections to IRLP and four connections to Showcast. Congratulations, Tony.
Thanks, guys. You did very well, and we have a couple of three or four students here that... perhaps I should answer their questions for them. We ran out of time, unfortunately, but we all were aware of that, and of course we can't do much about it. And from the Salt Creek students, staff and parents, I'd like to thank Harris and all of my colleagues for helping me out on this contact today. Thanks, Tim, and all others.
Well, thank you, Tony, and I do want to mention, as Tony says, that this is a cooperative effort with NASA, with AMSAT, and the American Radio Relay League, as well as ARIS worldwide, and also through the gracious facilities of Verizon Conferencing, who made this possible. We want to say good evening to everybody, and thank you all for or good morning, depending on where you are, for happy lunchtime, or what is the appropriate greeting for lunch down there in Australia, Tony?
I think we call it tucker time, Tim.
Sounds good. Okay, well, we'll let you have lunch then, and again, congratulations to the school there, and thanks to everybody who assisted to make this a success.
Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to chuck another shrimp on the barbie today, but that may be another day.
Oh, man. You know, you're going to ruin the Australian reputation here. Anyway, thank you to everybody, and hope you have a good day there.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay. Yes,
nothing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, D-Way. What?
No, I think that was everything. Okay, we'll say goodbye then. And Beth, thank you for your help.
Thank you.
Go ahead and drop all the lines. And
okay.
Thanks,
Beth.
Thank you. Have a good day.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all.